Perfect. All right, I think it's time to start the show.
Oh no.
All right, we're coming live. What's up, everybody? Boom. All right, Jeremy, what are we doing today?
All right, so we have quite the lineup of topics for you guys today. A lot of things have happened in the month of February. For those of you that don't know, this is Brian F. Ringe is taking over for Filipino Man, and of course you guys are watching twitch.tv/Sayjam. So right off the bat, to kind of talk about things, to start off, February 4th, we had the reveal of Evo, the Evo lineup, pretty big deal. To kind of just talk about what made it to the lineup, Smash Ultimate, Tekken 7, Street Fighter 5 coming back, Uniclear coming back as well, DBFZ in its third season, Samurai Showdown coming back, Soul Calibur 6 as well, and some of the biggest ones that I thought were the inclusion of Granblue, considering it's been released, or it's about to be released in America in a week, less than a week probably, and of course, MVC2 being on the docket as a throwback tournament for its, 20th year?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the 20th anniversary, so that's what they announced for the, what's it called, Marvel tournament coming back, which I'm pretty excited. I'm like, at first, I was kind of sad that it was a, it was a, like, invitational, like, half invitational, mm-hmm. half mm-hmm. qualifying via play-ins. But, you know, thinking about it, it kind of makes sense, I guess, for, like, this to be an exhibition tournament, because there is an open bracket tournament at Evo, right, for the right. game anyway. There's three qualifiers, and then the fourth slot is the Evo LCQ. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. Evo lineup in general, though, I guess we should talk a little bit about and what we think about.
Yeah, so, I mean, for me, when we were all watching it together, at least, you know, in spirit.
In spirit, yeah.
One of the biggest ones that I thought right off the bat was MK not being included into it, which was pretty wild, considering how it's only been about a year since the game came out.
Yeah, it's been 10 years since, like, an NRS game has not been right. at Evo, actually. Yeah, it's
no,
like,
NRS representative at all.
Yeah, very weird to not have an NRS game there, I have to say. It's, like, super surprising. I think a lot of people are super sad and upset about it. But there is a lot of, like, I think interesting discussion that's come up about it, about how, like, maybe NRS fans being so negative about their game all the time had an impact on how people view the game and how lively it is, you know what I mean? Which is interesting because the game sold extremely well, and it's, like, super easy to find and play matches. The netcode's great. Like, and NRS themselves do so much for the community. The finals is coming up literally next weekend, right? You can watch the finals for their tour next weekend. It's going to be in Chicago.
That's right.
It's going to be awesome. But I'm super surprised. I think maybe it's, like, a combination of attitude of the community and also that the finals last year kind of paid or played kind of flat. But I'm not sure why NRS is not at Evo this year.
That's pretty interesting. You mentioned, like, the attitude of the community, because I feel like on the other hand, the game that I was shocked that is returning is Samurai Showdown. Just,
yeah, me too.
I think it has the complete opposite story, where I don't think it sold that great. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's no fighting game is near MK11 numbers besides Smash, right?
Yeah.
And the community online is terrible, right? But yep. The community, I feel like the face you see is very active support and a lot of grassroots movements behind playing that game. There's the Ronin Rumble online tournament series going on. Mm-hmm. So I feel like as a outsider looking in, there's a lot of positive reception to the game, even though there's obvious flaws with the product itself. But compared to MK11, it's like the product itself has a lot of shine and it's a very functioning game and sold very well. But I do agree that there is kind of like that community perception of, I don't like the way the game is playing, patch this, patch that.
It's but I'm very still normal. Shocked.
I feel like MK11 would have been in over Samurai Showdown if I were to guess this without seeing the announcement.
Right.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. And honestly, I love MK. I like this version of MK a lot too. So I'm really sad that it's not there. And, you know, I think NRS is like the kind of company that will make up for it by just making their events, you know, kind of shine and having their own stuff within their community. I mean, even the community runs a lot of different tournaments that they do all the time online because the netcode's so good. So I think the NRS community will not suffer so bad from not having their game at Evo either. But it is disappointing to me, you know, because I love MK. I'm always down to watch it and enjoy it. I just think that it's an interesting, like, time to be, like, you know, to think about the community's attitude about their game and how, like, after a year, it fizzles so bad, you know? It goes from, like,
right.
Oh, man, I'm so happy about this new game, to, ugh, Injustice 2 is actually better the whole time, even though we hated it a year ago. And now, like, you know, the new game comes out, and it's like, you know what? MK11 was actually really great. It's like the attitude is so tiresome. There's, like, such a vicious cycle that keeps happening over and over with the community, and I've never really liked that much.
Ed Boon is already like joking about Injustice 3, but you've already seen the tweets about, oh, Injustice 3, wow, what if this character was in Injustice 3? So, I mean, they're feeding into it. This is their bread and butter for NRS. So, yeah, I mean, they kind of like that, I think, as a company. Keep everyone always wanting more. They're always coming back for the next iteration of either of their franchises. So I think it could be also driven by NRS themselves. Like the chat was mentioning, they think NRS is trying to do their own thing. I kind of suspect that as well.
Yeah.
I don't know what benefit NRS gets from feeding into Evo being the event when they're also running their own tour with way more money.
Right.
And I don't know. Evo's just way more corporate now. It's hard to know what exactly is going on behind the scenes.
And yeah.
I'm glad
to be a game in the lineup.
I'm glad you brought up that point because there was speculation last year, right, that MK11 finals wasn't on Sunday in the stadium because of how violent of a game it is, right? And it's like not necessarily a family-friendly type viewing experience. Like they kind of want everybody to pack into the stadium and watch all these games and whatnot. So I'm wondering if that had to do with it. If it did, it probably had little to do with it. But MK11 in general, yeah, the community feedback just – it's not a good look, right? Even the Killsage said on the No Frills podcast about how he specifically doesn't like to complain about anything he doesn't like in Dragon Ball Fighters because he doesn't want to run people off the game. And I mean, MK11 players and personalities end up kind of doing that a little bit. Even David tweeted about it, right? About how he thinks his Twitter has kind of contributed to that fact. So it's something that I think the NRS community needs to reflect on themselves. But as you said, that's kind of the cycle it goes with anyway. I don't know. It's kind of hard to read for me.
Yeah, I'm also with you about the NRS maybe just wanting to do their own thing and pull away from Evo. And on, I guess from Evo's perspective as well, like last year's finals I thought was like a really flat finals, right? Especially because Sonic Fox won the tournament, but they were also in Dragon Ball earlier in the day. And if you compare like the Dragon Ball top 8 and how exciting that was to like the winning moment and like how MK ended and how MK top 8 was, it was like incredibly long with tons of breaks and just like it felt really flat, right? It didn't feel like it delivered a really exciting top 8 for a first year game at Evo, which is like something that is pretty big. So, you know, I think all the like literally every other tournament for MK11 has been super tight, and I'm sure that the finals coming up is going to be great. The summit for it was great. I'm sure that it's going to be fine, right? And like whatever NRS wants to do themselves will be awesome because that company's like they're great with how they like kind of do their community events and stuff. So yeah, I think that's surprising to me, but I also trust that NRS and NRS fans will have something great to deal with instead of Evo.
Yeah, hopefully something comes up with maybe within a time frame to see some sort of announcement for their pro tour. But again, you kind of mentioned it earlier, their finals is happening next weekend, around the weekend of the 7th. And also around that weekend, there's also Grand Blue happening next week. The release is on the 3rd, and then they have their launch party happening on the 7th as well. And this is a title, obviously, that's not out yet, but it's already included into the Evo lineup.
Yeah.
I know, I think majority of us have had a good amount of time with it, with the international release so far. So far, your thoughts on it being included on Evo and just the game in general?
Yeah, Evo always seems to do this now, right? They gamble on some game that's coming out. And like even during the announcement, Wizard said something like, I hope the game is good, right? He was like, I hope that this inclusion to Evo ends up being a good game, right? Which I thought was like,
is this
really
the game that was announced for Evo the furthest away from the release date? Because I think the other one was Cross Tag. What was the last
TV
one?
TV Tag was like a month before Evo.
Yeah,
like
when that was close.
Launched. Yeah.
This
yeah.
is very, very far.
Yeah,
the biggest gap between announcement and actual release that I've seen, at least.
And Sam Show was like that last year too, right? Where it wasn't out. It wasn't out yet by the time they announced it for Evo. Seems like there's always one, right? There's always one game that's gonna come out like that. And even like Wizard said something on there like, oh yeah, well, you know, Grand Blue is in or whatever. He's like, we can't do Guilty Gear. That comes out late in the year. Like he was like, you know, we wanna do all these games, but you know, we can't do it because it's not out yet, which I thought was pretty funny. But yeah, like, so I'm not surprised Grand Blue made it. I think a lot of us expected that game to be there, given like Arxis and also that Psy Games the year before and like Evo Japan and stuff has been like a sponsor for Evo before. So it seemed pretty likely the game would make it in. That being said, I had no faith that the game was going to be good. Before it came out, like I just didn't assume I would enjoy the game at all. I just didn't think it was going to be my speed. But once I played it, I love it. I think the game's awesome. As you know, if you've tuned into my channel the last month, I've been streaming and playing the game a ton. I really, really like it. So I guess I got lucky in that sense, but yeah, there's always that kind of, like, last year, for instance, Sam Show was that game, right, that came out, and I tried it, and I was like, it's not really for me. But, like, this year, it turned out to be Granblue, and I think it'll have, like, a similar effect on the community where, like, all the community events up to Evo will have tons of entries for Granblue because the game is new, the game is rather simple, sure. People are interested in it, Evo is going to be big for it, and then we'll see what the community really, like, how their community rallies together and what the numbers are like post-Evo.
So, wait, how did you play the game? I'm confused.
You know,
what are you talking about?
There was the delay based Netcode Cops had a delay based release, so I had to delay my console back to an Asian version of it so that I could purchase the Hong Kong.
Why is it delaying it backwards?
Yeah, yeah.
Moving forward and being advanced.
The unfortunate thing is I can't roll back my Hong Kong version into a Steam version because they just announced that. And so
they did. On the 13th. We're about to get this game three times.
I'm not buying it three times. You're out of your damn mind.
Buying it three times. See, for me, I personally just gave up. See, I thought I was going to do, you know, the anime community a favor for giving this game a chance. You know,
even making an eight-person finals in the bathroom.
Yeah. Exactly. I was going to make it eight people. You know, give it a chance, give it a shot. But then the moment they added that one extra layer of obscurity from me being able to purchase it, having to jump through some hoops to be able to get a Hong Kong version of an account to be able to download it, interest fizzled out.
It wasn't too hard. I'm just
bro,
gonna tell
it was
you
hard
like,
if you did it in Japanese like me. That shit was
English. It's all
you gotta understand. Call of Duty bros and Halo nerds are not gonna go out of the way to download an anime fighter if you can't just allow them to purchase the game.
And you have to remember that's what Street Fighter players are. Gustavo is the model exactly. Street Fighter player. He's buff. He's got a job. He's got a six pack. Him and his bros are like, they're cheering when they make it into top 48 with their beers, you know, and stuff.
I definitely know a lot of Street Fighter players that used to be Halo bros. That was kind of where I got started too. So if you want to appeal to some of the other parts of the FGC, you make this shit easy to purchase. That's crazy.
See,
we're still having issues with getting games like
you got to hide a copy next to the 45-pound weight in the gym and all this, the buff. Immaculate Street Fighter players with their perfect teeth and chiseled bodies will be like, wait, I can find this in the bathroom, and they'll grab a copy.
Is that footsies?
So now I'm just picturing them putting like 50 discs on each side of the bench press. Yeah, just bench Street Fighter
discs. Like, ugh. They're like, I need a five. You got a five? And they just put Granblue on both sides. Just like, sick.
Yeah, I can see that. That's pretty good. I like that a lot, actually.
That's what Street Fighter players look like, right? They all look like Gustavo.
Exactly. My question with this whole thing, though, this whole fiasco of like releasing it early internationally, I mean, like, why? Well, I don't know what the reasoning was behind them delaying the release for North America as well as Europe. I didn't get to really look into it because as soon as the game came out, I was just grinding it out. But has anyone ever read into it as to why, or maybe in the chat, right? Like, why did they even bother delaying the release?
I don't know. It seems like it's a localization issue, right? It's not the first time this has happened where this. I feel like it's uniquely Japanese made games that are always just like delayed releases everywhere else for some strange reason. You know, it's very weird. I honestly don't know why it happened. You would assume they would want to release it everywhere worldwide at the same time.
So, sure.
Yeah, because the European version is coming out after the Steam version, right?
Yeah.
Yes,
that's
it is.
Pretty wild. It's pretty wild for sure.
Yeah. There's been no official reason as far as I know, which is, yeah, it means that somewhere, somehow, something got messed up bad, right? Because you obviously want everything to come out at the same time. It's unfortunate for sure. It makes me sad.
Definitely. Yeah. It should be a fun game to watch at Evo, though, right? Because it's one of those games that, like Sam Cho, like Dragon Ball FighterZ, it's pulling in people from all over, and like everybody from separate communities, right? We see Kid Viper playing it. We see Justin Wong playing it, etc. We see Cloud805 playing it.
Sonic and Goichi.
Yeah, Goichi, Sonic, all these players. So it's real dope just because of that. But yeah, I can't wait for the actual tournament season to get started for that game, because all we've really had so far is like locals, and those are cool, you know what I'm saying? But I want to see the major competition.
Yeah, we haven't really seen anything like that.
So for someone who abandoned all hope of getting into another anime game, can you explain just how broken these block button OSs actually are, and if it's the future of the game? Because the picture that I got as just consuming the Twitter feeds of all the superior anime footsie players is that this game has no future, because it's going to be a completely solved game where everyone's just going to be inputting perfect
they're going to be doing this
block OSs, just doing that, and then the moment you press anything, a proximity OS will happen with an invincible DP, and that's going to be the entire game.
That's so correct.
Is that actually how the game is going to play out? Is that being addressed?
It is being addressed. They actually made a statement about that, how it's going to be taken out. As to what extent, I'm not sure, because there's still tech being developed and found every single week. But the ones that you've been seeing on Twitter feeds with the Proximity OS are being addressed. There was a few other things that the block button kind of does, like with, I guess, their positioning in the air as well, being able to get like certain cross-ups you never would have before because of your character turning around. They're being addressed little by little, but for now, the official
Hold on there, partner. You said a lot of stuff. What they said was there's some unintended use of the block button that have been found, and it'll be fixed for the U.S. release. That's when the patch is going to come out. That's all they said. No, they didn't say exactly what it was at all. Literally, they didn't say this tech or that tech.
They're going to fix some other bug that no one even found yet, and this is just going to rock. That's what I want to see. I want to see
that's what I was getting
from
at.
The ultimate footsies game to just pure OS spamming nonsense. No one's ever going to attack just because the moment they do, it'll just get blown up by a DP.
Yeah, the thing is that Proximity OSs are... They've been in other fighting games too, right? Like...
Other arcs is released fighting games.
Well, yeah, and in Street Fighter 4 also is in Street Fighter. It's been in a lot of different games.
Street Fighter 4 had it, but it was kind of hard to do because if you messed up the input, it was a tight window. You would just get your ultra. Right, yeah. That's what you would do. The button and put your ultra behind it, and if they try to counter poke you, but they weren't right with the spacing or whatever, you would immediately get a perfect ultra to come out. And Aliyun was the one actually implementing that and doing it in games.
Yeah,
but no, it never really took off. So that's why I was wondering if in what people are doing in Granblue, if it's more feasible and actually being used right now.
The reason it's more feasible is because in this game, you hide it with a block button. So like it's much easier to hide it behind a block button than a whiffed attack or a whiffed move or whatever it is, right? So, but I think we suspect that their message is, hey, the block button Proximity OS is going to be removed. That's like the thing that it seems like. The other stuff with the block button, it's like unsure of, right? There's actual functionality with it on dealing with left-right mix-ups and dealing with all kinds of other stuff, and there's defensive OSs with it. Whether those get changed or not, we'll see, because I think like a lot of people suspect the way they'll handle the block button Proximity OS is just by making like block have a higher priority or something so that it beats out the other options it's trying to do, and that could mess up a bunch of other OSs or create new OSs. Like, you know, we don't know exactly what's even going to happen yet.
That's kind of how I feel like this might be just an endless cycle, because a block button I feel like just opens you up to so many possible engine exploits. So we'll see how it plays out.
And also think even considering like removing the block button would make certain characters extremely not extremely overpowered, but like very, very strong characters for sure.
They're going to have to try to figure out how to make the option selects either manageable ones or ones that they think are like okay versus what the ones exist now. The Proximity Block OS is probably too powerful. But I think a lot of people haven't really implemented it a ton yet because they immediately kind of were like, hey, this is going to get patched. So I think a lot of people are like, all right, well, like, you know, planning my game plan around that is maybe not the best idea if it's something that's going to be removed.
So was the block button ever presented as something to make the game easier?
This
is kind of an interesting.
Yes.
So to me, someone mentioned this about Mortal Kombat one time, and it really opened my eyes about it. They said, yeah, in Mortal Kombat, at least we can't OS our walk away with a block. And I was like, damn, I never thought about it that way. How in every other fighting game, when you walk back, you're OSing block. Mm-hmm. But when you have a block button, there's no OS behind your movement. And to me, that made me think, wait, this is actually covering less options. You have to commit to blocking. You can't just do movement and blocking at the same time.
The other thing,
I feel like this is another example of making the game easier doesn't make it easier.
Yeah, the other thing about that too is that there is like zero proximity guard in MK because of that, right? Because you have to commit to the block button. So when Injustice comes out, notice how Injustice is always like a defensive game, right? It's because that game is a non-block button game with no proximity guard. So then every move in that game, you can just walk away from it and block with no proximity guards.
Gap, make more space.
So whiff punishing in that game is, and like walking back and having a forward advancing move to whiff punish is extremely powerful because no proximity guard and no block button. So you just fly away from every move and then like you just hold back and you're out of everything.
Go back in. Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just find that always interesting when people try to, or developers try to implement things to make things easier. I feel like half the time it makes the game harder for people to get into.
It definitely can, yeah.
Yeah, I was actually curious, Brian. I know you're waiting for the NA release. Would you actually take it seriously? This
he's going to transfer from Koahime? Oh, shit.
I'm curious.
I mean, I've already dominated one anime scene. What's another? No biggie. I'm joking, but when I played Kohime, I was like, is that my rank online? I played three matches and I was ranked like top 10 in the world. I was like, is this like Smash where the number goes up or it goes down? Sure, and I was like, oh, it's going down.
That's pretty funny. You
know, I personally would want to see you break down that game as well.
I gave up. I was slightly
come on, like, man.
Like I said, when they added any sort of challenge for me to get the game, the hype train has already died for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was building up a little bit. I was giving it some attention, and then it deflated. I don't got time for that.
Over here, I'm learning Japanese and shit, trying to navigate the menus. I'm learning another language. It's been great.
We wish we could have included you on our deal. Ringe and I actually got the Hong Kong version. And the limit is like two people sharing an account.
Yeah, and then you tweeted, hey guys, guess what? All the Hong Kong cards are back in stock. Go pick them up. And I went to get some to fucking buy the game. They're all sold out. I was like, thanks, Jeremy. Your fucking tweet got everybody to buy the goddamn card. So now I'm over here learning Japanese.
I did you a favor.
Naruhodo. I'm over here fucking just learning all this Japanese. I'm like, oh, all right, that's his main menu in fucking Katakana. Sure, yeah, I'll click that. You fucking okay. Sick fuck.
Baka Gaijin. But overall, I mean, I wish I could ask Brian about his experiences with the game, but it's been pretty positive. I mean, all of us, we've been playing it. I've been playing it like every single day. Yeah.
You're an addict. Numbers... You said it ruined your sleep schedule, your gym schedule, your life and shit. Like every time I ask you.
It's taken over. It really has taken over. And it's kind of taken over for SoCal as well. We've seen like vast numbers of players at their locals and NLBC getting some pretty decent numbers as well. With this game from all walks of life in the FGC. So it's been a pretty positive reception. And it's pretty interesting to see the fluctuation of who people think are like the strongest characters. It's been changing week after week.
Yeah. I mean, that's sure, normal, right? I think.
Yeah, at the beginning of the game, everybody was hype about Matera, and then she fell off super quick. Like, everybody was like, okay, secondary into it. This character's not that great. Then Fairy, of course, rose to prominence. And yeah, I think right now people are kind of settling around like Gran, Catalina, Fairy, Lancelot, right? Those are like the top four.
Lancelot's the fucking best. That character's so good.
Super he's good. Too cool to play, I feel like.
He's just a bitch. He just flies around and does whatever he wants, dude. Character's an asshole. Yeah, he was clearly the only person I ever heard say Lancelot was bad was Cloud. So I was like, all right, this character's cheap. It's like the easiest way to know.
Wasn't Japan sleeping on Lancelot at the beginning?
Maybe, but now, obviously, everybody's like, oh, shit, Lancelot's... Yeah, he's messed up.
Yeah, he's, of course, right?
Cheap character, like, for sure.
I think Japan kind of has a history of sleeping on characters at the beginning of the game or thinking these characters are not that good. And
they had Catalina, like, bottom three. The first tier list I saw, right, that was popular. But it's just one guy's opinion, right? So it's hard to know the actual, like, scope of what everybody thinks.
And then Diva's been getting a lot of screen time internationally as well.
That character's good too, yeah.
She has been busting up everybody. I forgot what the Twitter was or who the player was, but he's been like killing everybody. He's like a triple S ranked Diva online, destroying like Mago, Fujimura.
The good news is that Grand Blue Versus will be another Evo medal for Kazunoko. He's putting another one on the board. He's adding it to the trophy case.
Yeah, he was the first one to get past the triple S one rank, right? On the Lancelot, of course. Jeez. Definitely a character for him. So I can't wait to see some Kazunoko at Evo. And I saw Aqua did have Ladiva as like the fifth best character in the game. So yeah, people are recognizing the power of that character.
Character's
for sure.
Good.
Yeah, we're going to be adding a little bit more characters too. Once the NA release happens, I think what Bia and Narvaya are being released.
Yeah.
So the boss and the lady with the butterflies and samurai sword is pretty cool. Looking forward to that. But speaking of Kazunoko, he also competed in the Dragon Ball World Finals not too long ago, if I'm not mistaken. I don't even know how he placed, but there's been a good amount of upsets that happened during not only like the qualifying pools, but in the actual tournament itself, the Invitational.
I don't think Kazunoko made it out of the group stages. He wasn't in the top eight.
Yeah, he didn't make top eight at the event. So going from winning and dominating in season one, but he was really the first one to figure out the meta, right? When it came to Dragon Ball FighterZ, like he was the one that really pioneered Super Dash into assist call, and he had the broken characters, and then they patched the game and his team remained the same and stuff like that. So he's definitely all about being the champion in season one. Here in season two, I think people caught up to the meta. Everybody figured out how to play the game properly. And then in season two, you just had people rise to prominence, like the Killsage, right? The Killsage doing a whole lot better in season two, even though he was a force to be reckoned with in season one. But I think he really showed off the capabilities of characters like Brawly. And then, of course, GT Goku being released and everybody kind of jumping on that bandwagon and riding that to victory. And Goichi, I think, as well, just got very motivated from his season one performance, right? Obviously, he looked to be one of the best players in the game at the beginning. And then he had like a hand injury, kind of fell off, couldn't quite go to as many tournaments as he wanted to. And at the finals, he was, I think, third place in the season one finals. So season two, he started it off with like 10 straight tournament victories until Sonic Fox finally beat him at one. And then after that, he was still just like the most dominant player. My favorite story personally coming out of the Dragon Ball FighterZ World Tour is the fact that Tachikawa got fourth place overall when he was the one that was kind of gatekept from that top 15 that got invited to the finals in the first place, right? And he got gatekept because he had the same points as Seo, which was the 15th place in the Dragon Ball FighterZ standings. But to tiebreaker and to determine the tiebreaker, they went to the Saga points. And Tachikawa could not go to Evo because he got sick. He got put in the hospital. Well, that's how sick he was. He couldn't go. So he didn't get any points from that event. So for him to go to the finals, win the LCQ, and then get fourth place, I mean, that was my favorite story for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And then obviously Goichi just being so incredibly dominant. Like, those are the two big things about the event. Sage making a really deep run, and then Fenrich again just chilling. The Linkin Park's playing in the background. You know, it's like, no, like, not again. It's just, oh, man, second place. But it was great. I thought the finals were really fun to watch. And high-level Dragon Ball, I feel like, always delivers, right? It's one of those games that when you watch the best players in the world play it, it's always a treat. And everywhere else, it's like it depends on your mood and how much you like the game. But finals and big events like that, I think, are always great. And it led into the changes that happened for this season, which I think a lot of people are really excited about. And the game probably needed pretty drastic changes overall, right, for people to like come back and be interested in stuff. So I think the patch looks cool. I thought the finals were really good. I'm pretty happy with where the game is currently.
I just want to say shout out to Apology Man. I feel like that was, to me, one of the best stories. Making it all the way to fifth place, getting out of the pool with Sonic Fox in there. He was smoking, and the kill stage was just playing out of his mind. So love watching those two play. But yeah, I definitely agree that the game at high level is a totally different experience. At mid-level and below, it is the most repetitive game I have ever seen. I enjoy playing it a lot, but it's always great to finally see like the peak of the game because it's an entirely different experience.
Yeah, I think, Apology Man had a great performance there too. That's true. I think everybody's a Sage fan, right? Like, everybody watches to kill Sage and it's like, this guy is sick. He's my favorite because people ask him questions about the game, or like somebody will say like, bro, don't you know the frame data on this move? And he's like, I don't know it at all. I know nothing about this game. It's like, I'm learning like everybody else. I don't know what the fuck's going on. So that's like my favorite thing.
He's so unashamed of like sourcing information out to his chat too, right? He's like, hey chat, what are these base Goku extensions? Even in season three, even his latest stream, right? He's like, tell me what the extensions are, blah, blah, blah. Like, he just plays his ass off, and he's a very like great performer to watch. But if you've ever watched like his Born Free interview, he talks about how he's like, no, when I started playing fighting games, I sucked. I wasn't like some pro, like a prodigy or like Sonic Fox, right, where I pick up the game super quick and then I'm just godlike at it. Like, I have to grind my ass off to get to the point where I am. And because of that, I think everybody's behind Sage. And he just has a fantastic attitude. Like we said before, right, he doesn't want to bitch about the game on Twitter because he doesn't want to drive people away. Like, he sees the big picture. I'm a big Sage fan for sure.
Yeah, the representation overall was pretty good for at least the North American folks. I mean, what, Apology Man, Super Noon as well with the run of his life. He also, was he the one to deliver the killing blow against Kazunoko? I know he went up against him.
Yeah, that sounds right to me because they play in groups, right? The only thing that I know about Super Noon making top 8 is I always talk tons of shit about his Bardock and about how bad it was because it was so bad for so long. And when he made top 8 at the tournament, I told him when he came back to Wins and I Fights, I was like, I'm not going to talk any shit about your Bardock for like 2 weeks. And he was like, wow, really? I was like, your Bardock is sick. For like 2 weeks, I'm just going to tell everybody your Bardock is sick. After that, we'll see how I'm feeling. But for 2 weeks, I won't say anything bad about your Bardock.
Yeah,
I think season three has done some good shakeups, like we alluded to before, right? Giving people the assist selection. Everybody's been wanting that since the beginning of the game, really. So giving everybody B and C assist. It's an interesting idea what they did with C assist, right? There's two types of C assist where you can like home in on the opponent and get the combo after, or they just come out and throw a beam and get a combo after. But the fact that the C assist cooldown is 12 seconds when the regular A and B assists are 4 is definitely something I'm interested in seeing how it develops in the meta. Like if people are actually going to find C assist worth it in the long run. I think the best C assist like right now is probably Frieza in comparison to the A and B assist. So, and Frieza, of course, going to be a popular character too because of his changes. But in general, I think some of the system mechanic changes are good. Limit break being 20% extra damage, very scary. I want it lowered to 10%, but it's very scary right now. You do get a key gauge when you get limit break. I think that's cool. I think they should definitely keep that. Mm-hmm. I think the EX bars being half a bar is definitely super cool as well. And what was and of course the snapback changes, right? Everybody wanted that, and everybody wanted to get rid of the snap meta because all you saw at high level play was people getting hit, getting carried to the corner, and then getting snapbacked and getting locked out of their assists, any defensive options. They had to spend their sparking to get out of this pressure. Now you can delay your incoming up to 30 frames, so it's like delay rise in that game. It's not just set timings. So yeah, it's definitely pretty cool.
Interesting.
But also the default incoming is a lot faster,
it's
right?
Boom, like, it's instant.
Yeah, instant. So just coming in immediately is often really good.
Yes.
If it's a mid-screen snap, you can't really get any pressure going from that.
Yeah.
Precisely.
It's very hard to cover it all.
The one change I'm not unsure about is the limit break, because I feel like, what is the goal here? The goal is to provide a comeback mechanic for when you're down 3v1. Or is the goal to end games faster? Because I feel like the game overall could have maybe just used a slight damage boost. Like, not just a boost when you have, when you're down. If they just increase the damage overall slightly, I feel like you could have avoided some of these situations. But I'm not 100% sure how I feel about just giving you damage boost only when you're losing.
So they did universally change 5H and 2H smashes. They increased the damage on those as well. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't exactly answer the whole problem of increasing all of the damage, but that has made certain touch of deaths easier to get to, and they do like 1,000 damage, basically. I don't remember what they did before.
I just feel like the problem was if you got down 3-1, making a comeback just took so long that you were just wasting your mental energy on a game that you're going to lose like 95%, 98% of the
time. Yeah, it was a miserably bad. Like, your chances were horrible, right?
Like, and sometimes I feel like you might as well just give up, right? You might as well just give up and preserve your mental fortitude for the next match because your odds are so stacked against you that I feel like if the damage was just higher in general, you could just, I don't know, possibly make the comeback and games wouldn't drag out as long, because I feel like that was kind of an issue was sets would just take forever, even at first to two.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, too, is, like, with snap being really strong, like, and you not being able to murder people when you hit them meant every hit was, like, 25% damage into a snap, into, like, some guaranteed pressure, because this is the only part of the game where they don't have, like, guard cancel and reflect and, you know, vanish out of different situations and sparking that you can do out of block stun in, like, every situation, right? So you had to guarantee some offense, and then you got a hit, and you're like, sick, I got a hit, but I have meter penalty because I had to use a bar to get the snap, and now I'm only doing 15% damage into another snap. Like, it was kind of one of those things where it all just led into the game being, like, 20 really small hits or something like that, instead of it being, like, most versus game where it's like, oh, we got hit by, like, 5 Magneto standing jabs, are always dead. Right? It's like, that's the confirm.
What was the point of the meter? So the meter penalty made sense to me when they had snap, because I feel like you often burnt meter to get the snap set up. But does it really make sense anymore? I don't really understand what that's addressing right now.
It's probably okay because of the half bar EXs, because if there was no meter penalty, it would be fucking, I don't even know what would be happening. Everybody would be doing EX moves every 5 seconds. Like, you'd just be flying around the screens and doing all kinds of, which is, to be fair, what Dragon Ball probably should be like. But yeah, with the half EX bar now, I think it makes more sense. Like, the meter penalty doesn't feel so bad. There's also meter building assists, right? Or meter building assists, which is nice too.
That base Goku assist. So I don't know if you've seen it, Brian. I'll just tell you about it real quick. I don't want to get on a rant too much. But the first 3 times you call base Goku B assist, it builds you 75% of a bar. Every time you call it after that, it is a whole bar, 100% of a bar. What? Right there. Yeah. And you get the leveled up spirit ball when you come in on base Goku.
Oh, it powers him up as well.
Yeah. That assist is tight.
Okay, I've heard people saying base Goku might be the wave. I didn't know he had a way to charge up a spirit bomb.
Yeah, very good. He's super good. Super good in this patch. And one more point I want to address that Brian brought up, actually, is the fact that when you get down 3v1 in this game, a lot of the time you're like, should I just give up and keep my mental energy for the next game? That's something we've seen in versus games before, right? Marvel 2, right? Marvel 2, people just straight up let go of the controller. They're all right, 3v1, yeah. I'm done. I'm not going to play this.
Yeah, Psylocke comes in and she's not moving. Like, you know, yeah. Commando comes in or like it's like over. It's like, yep.
So the only that's like a gift and a curse, right? Because once you have that aspect, coming back is super hype. If you actually pull it off, even though it takes a while, like people get all energetic and it's intense and whatnot. And in this game, with the way Limit Break is right now, I feel like people are like, man, this is some BS more than it, you earn the comeback. But
right.
We'll see, you know.
That's why I felt like I'm unsure of that, because maybe if they just increased damage overall, it would address that a little bit without going overboard, because now it's forced when you are down rather than just in general consequences are higher overall for every interaction.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that pans out.
I've seen the meter, but how exactly is Limit Break triggered? Or is it just like a passive thing? Like if you are down, then it'll just like the meter will go towards your benefit, and then you would just get these bonuses as soon as like it hits a certain area of the gauge. I actually haven't seen or like really a dabbled with it.
When you're down to your last character, you come in. It looks like a foxtail to me. I don't know.
It's like the golden bar.
Yeah, yeah, and it literally just means you're powered up.
Yeah, it's literally once you just get down to your last character, Jeremy.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. That happens, it activates.
It's like realistic to the lore, because well, right? You know, when Goku's friends die, he's just incredibly powerful. Yeah. So that it's exactly, it's realistic to the lore. It's like everybody else is dead. All right, now it's time for me to fight and save everybody, because they're all dead.
Gotcha. So with the inclusion of that kind of like comeback mechanic and making the characters even stronger, I wonder how that's going to affect some of the newer characters coming in, because they won't, I don't know, I don't remember how often they would like patch out characters, the DLC characters after the release, but from what I've seen so far, Kefla seems to be pretty good. I don't know if she would be altered significantly throughout time, but or at least this season. But overall thoughts on the character. I've seen a lot on Twitter so far. She has a pretty decent touch of death routes that I've seen from Nakiel. I know you guys have been messing with the character for a while too.
Yeah, like, so I played her. She's very good, I think. She seems like a good character. A lot of people are like, I think maybe a little early reaction are like, oh my god, she's everybody, you gotta play her. I don't think she's that good. I think she seems like a good character. A lot of people freaked out because Goichi started playing Kefla and they're like, whoa. She's good. And on your question about patching and stuff, so previously they never patched mid-season. Like last season there was no mid-season patch, even when everybody was pissed about GT Goku. In this version they said, hey, if there's something that we need to address mid-season, we'll consider it, right? So if there is something that just seems like it's too much or there's something that's wrong with the game, we will step in and patch it, versus last season where they're kind of hands off. So yeah, Kefla seems good to me. She seems like pretty scary character overall. She has like a really fast teleport that is like like it's like this dash where she just flies across the screen, and she can do it in the air too. It's messed up. Even with cross-up protection existing in the game, there's like some pretty dangerous uses of it. And also just in neutral, it's like really scary. And her damage output is super high. She has like, what's that move that Nina had in Cross Tekken where she like jumps and does like this big like overhead looking move that's a low that like
that's led a to low?
Yeah, that led to mad damage. She has that move where she just dives at you and it's a low and you just get exploded from half screen. It's she's a really dangerous character.
Yeah, so in addition to that, right, like you mentioned, that move is a special, right? So you can cancel it during any time of your block string. In addition to that, she has a 6H command normal that's an overhead. So one of the things in Dragon Ball FighterZ is like block strings, and you can anticipate when like the overhead or 2M mix-up is coming, right? Because they can only come from mediums or lights. In this game with Kefla, she can do it from mediums or H's and stuff like that. Actually, I don't think she can do it from 5H, but she can do it later in a block string than most characters can. And that's what caught a lot of people off at the beginning of the game when Cell had that low 6H, right? Or he still does, but people got used to it. But the fact that she has an alternative, the fact that she can go low Lariat, is definitely super dangerous. Yeah. And we've seen Goichi play the character already, right? He ran an offline set with Kefla, Bardock, Frieza up against Fenrich. And Seijam talked about the cross-up protection with the teleport and whatnot. So Goichi's like solution to that so far is the fact that she has a Hell Zone type super, right, where all these like explosions happen on the screen, and he has Frieza assist, the A assist, which causes another explosion. So when you do those things in conjunction, like the teleport is very hard to see. Like it's very hard to notice where Kefla is on the screen. And he has a setup where he can keep it in front in the corner anyway. So, you know, Goichi already exploiting a lot of tech. Yeah.
It's messed up because, like, they took, like, Hellzone got nerfed for Piccolo and stuff. Like, it's like, you know, they've nerfed a lot of the things about Piccolo. People are sad about Piccolo and stuff. They just get this character's got Hellzone. She's got low Lariat. She's got a manual overhead with her 6H. Like, they're like, yeah, it should be fine. She's got Vegito L. It's like, yeah, it'll all work out. I was like, okay, well, yeah, sure. All right. No, it's all good.
Now, I mean, we've talked about some of the characters getting altered. I think what I wanted to get at was the significant changes that Ringe brought up with having different kinds of assists, does that make the characters overall stronger? I know Krillin's been on the trending topic list for one of the characters, or one of the characters that everybody wants to play. Stop. Brian, not a fan of bald people, I get it. But yeah, so Krillin has been moving up a little bit considering his assists.
Stop trying to make Krillin happen.
I'm not trying to do it because I don't play the game, Brian.
It's not Krillin itself. It's just people, low tier warriors, just accept your
accept
place
that he sucks.
In the meta. Just accept it. Just,
okay.
You see it in every game. The fanatics for every low tier. Like, oh man, this one piece attack is what's going to set him over the top. I saw a tweet where someone said, here's my theory of fighting reason for why Krillin will replace SSJ Goku in the meta before the patch even dropped. And it was just like a level 3 knockdown, which he got like pressure after. And it's like, oh, because now you're not going to have rock assist, you also get a level 3 mix up also from this character. So use this character instead of SSJ Goku. And I'm like, what? if you have to think this much to make your character seem good, it's not good. Things that are simple and strong are the strongest aspects of like any fighting game. Simple and strong is the number one go-to option for any fighting game. The amount of mental gymnastics people do to make these characters happen, it's too much.
So then who has seen a like considerable bump up in stats, or I guess in the tier list, considering their new assists in the game?
It's interesting because there are assists that are better and stuff, but it's just like characters who like slot into other positions more naturally. Like Base Goku is a character that was good before, right? He's a pretty good character, but now he seems very strong in this version of the game. Funnily enough, like despite some nerfs, I think a lot of people think strong characters currently are Kid Buu, Bardock, GT Goku. Like those are like three characters that seem very strong still in this version of the game. But there are other characters that seem like they, like on paper, could be very good, but people don't know yet in practicality. Like maybe Blue Goku is like another example of a character that some people are like, maybe this character is very good. Like Broly, who is already good before. And actually the Z and I think the other version of Broly, the Super Broly, I think people think could be good now. Like the Z version was really good before, but you know, people aren't sure. Like Jiren, there's like lots of characters people are like, was this character really bad before and actually like great now? Is this a character that like, you know, slots into teams well? People are saying like Trunks also is maybe a good anchor because he has a beam now. But to be honest, I think Change the Future is just so absurd that I don't even know if the beam is like that big. But his other buffs, I think, are good. There's other characters that seem like they could be better, but it's hard to tell, I think, early. The nice thing is that if your team before suffered because you were missing an assist or something like that, I think almost everybody has like an assist that kind of slots in a way that you would probably want to use it now. So that part at least seems better to me.
Yeah, and Jiren, the only real Jiren player I knew from season 2 was Coach Steve.
Sure.
And he said that character probably went from like a low tier to mid tier. Like he's down to use him in competitive. So that's cool, right? To address like who has risen at least in popularity so far, 100% Frieza.
Yeah,
you see that character all day online, and if you don't know the change, it's because Golden Frieza has a timer to it, and it doesn't tick down when he's in sparking now. So he's a very popular anchor character because you can get 44 seconds of Golden Frieza.
Do you think though that they all think that everybody's saying that Frieza is so like he's like the bad, like Frieza's so good? Do you really think Frieza's that good? I think Frieza's better, but I don't know if I think Frieza's like a must-have character on a team.
Sounds like hype to me so far.
Yeah, I'm kind of there.
I think most of the changes, I'm not good at this game, but I keep up with it and I play casually. But I feel like most of the changes don't scream out any dramatic shifts in the meta as far as tiers go. That's kind of what I'm feeling. I think a lot of people were theory fighting that because you can swap out assist, if you can give a beam assist to anyone, that suddenly this character would be so relevant. But also, you give everyone assist variety, so why would you, if there's a better character that has a similar assist, why would you not just use that character? So I don't know. And until they give 16, it's hard. Knockdown on his command grab. Does anyone really care about these changes? I mean, I'm just going to throw that out there. So bring back my boy 16.
You know, I saw Reynolds playing. The first thing I saw is everybody's like, boo, 16 is not good. Like, what the fuck, man? What happened? And then, like, the first thing I see is Reynolds playing 16. I was like, of course, I should have known. Reynolds was playing a weird team at Wednesday Night Fights, which he's always playing weird teams. But, like, I really like the team he was playing. It's Gogeta, Vegito, and Base Goku, and all he was doing was calling the meter build assist over and over and over, and just using like level 3, level 5 with these characters, Spirit Bomb. Like, he was just spending all this bar, like, just dumping it on every combo, and I was like, that's hilarious. It's like such a Reynolds thing to do. He's like, I have meter, I'm just gonna hit you with big supers over and over. I was like, of course. It was really great. You're back, Jeremy. Your webcam fixed.
Yeah, I've been going back and forth with this thing. I don't know what it is, but I think it's because I dropped my camera at Wednesday Night Fights once. I was moving over the tables or the setup. But anyways, we'll not talk about that. Yeah, overall, I like the direction that DBFZ has taken so far. I like seeing all the new tech coming out and just how people get to express their characters even more so with the assists, and the new comeback mechanic has been pretty wild. So it's really cool to see. It's a really positive turn for him this season. It's very experimental. I can get it. I think it's a step in the right direction towards how fighting games should be, in my opinion. Let everybody have some busted stuff to work with.
It's good for versus game for sure. I think I think this new version is cool. I'm curious to see how it pans out, and maybe more teams might not be like the best, but more teams maybe are viable in this version, which is a good feeling, I think.
And I think GT Goku went from like must pick to not must pick, right? He's still very good, but that's just good to hear, right? That you don't have to pick this character. It's not going to give you the absolute best chance to win anymore. So that alone makes the roster a little bit more viable overall.
How many people in the LCQ are using GT Goku in the top 32? I think everybody besides like four. I can count right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people in top 32 in LCQ didn't use GT Goku.
That sounds right.
And five of those were in, they were tied for top 32.
Yep.
So no one in the top 16. Actually, no, there's two people in top 16. I lied. But no one in top 8 did not use GT Goku.
Yeah, that character is absurd, or was absurd, and still is very good.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, either way, I'm excited for the future of DBFZ finals, or just DBFZ in general. But kind of switching gears here, one of the other things we wanted to talk about that happened this month was the Street Fighter V netcode updates, as well as the official release of the Intel World Open rule set. Got a lot of heat all across the board from all social media, from the FGC. The netcode update was actually... A slight fix towards like the playability for PS4 and PC, trying to fix that issue, as well as breaking the Altamore and Fluffy Sheep mod, or whatever that other person's name was.
Fluffy Sheep.
I already forgot. Yeah,
Fluffy Sheep.
Cool. Yeah. So I didn't really get to play it. I was kind of like scared to. I had a great time with Altamore mod. I'm not gonna lie. One person I always test the connection with is Classico from Chicago. Mm. And that would be like my standard to see how playable it is. And since then, I haven't really been able to try it, but everybody's been kind of all right with it, more so disappointed.
Right. I tried all variations besides the Fluffy Sheep patch. Mm-hmm. The Altamore patch definitely was good, but had issues. I had plenty of issues with the slowdown occurring. I was just running Battle Lounge sets with other people with it. So... sometimes it offered an improvement over PS4 to PS4, and sometimes it didn't. So, I mean, it wasn't a perfect solution. But that, man, I was kind of playing live that patch when it dropped for the official netcode patch. And I got to tell you, my experience on day one, hour zero, was awful. But I think everyone had a pretty heated overreaction to what was going on. And I think a lot of people took my experience. I think that kind of happened where people saw me getting matched up with Mexico nonstop when I'm hilarious. In Wisconsin, which is, I'm very far away from Mexico. So it's not, I'm not trying to rub the stereotype of bad connections in other countries. It's just, I'm physically too far for that connection to work out with the infrastructure in the US and with fighting game netcode. And for some reason, I just get matched up with people in Mexico and Dominican Republic all day.
Yeah.
And it was just terrible. Terrible for me. And it's been that way. It's been terrible on PS4 since that update. But yesterday, I took 6 hours to play on my Smurf account, which I made for the Altamore patch. I took it to ranked, took it into the wild, and I had the best 6 hours of Street Fighter V I've ever had.
And that was on the PC version.
On the PC version of ranked. And it's not a one-to-one comparison because I was going through bronze, silver, gold, which has a lot more players available than like I'm on my main account on a high rank. But yeah, it was great. There was only like in 6 hours, like two connections that were obviously bad. And the way they were bad was just like a big jump here and there. It was never constant stuttering, which is what I was experiencing in the PS4 patch. Constant stuttering to the point of like almost being nauseating, like giving me motion sickness. Constant stuttering and slowdown, which was the new implementation they added. They added slowdown to sync up the clients.
Sure,
reduce the amount of big rollbacks. Never had any of those, just a few rollbacks occurring. So I've been hearing things like PC, the implementation is working better for people versus PS4. This patch is worse. But overall, it's just hard to draw any conclusions.
In your 6 hours of play, that included like crossplay as well. You got matched up with PS4 players.
I was definitely playing PS4 players. I just did 5-bar only. And I would hit confirm the 5-bar. So sometimes a 5-bar would come in, then it would say 3 bars out of nowhere.
You'd hit confirm from the menu.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah, obviously the initial reaction from all of us was like very negative. All of us were like, what? Nothing changed? Because the very first thing a lot of us saw were really bad connections, right? Like just horrible one-sided rollback connections and just like people having a really bad experience all the time, right? So everybody was like, what? It's not changed at all. Like that was like the initial thought. The netcode has changed, but like it's not fixed, right? I saw a lot of people saying like, oh, the netcode's I saw so many people like, oh, the netcode's fixed, it's great for me, blah 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 blah. That's not true, right? It's clear that the netcode is not fixed. There's still a lot of issues with it. One-sided rollback still existing and being very prominent. It's really brutal, right? It's such a rough feeling because the validity of the game is so rough. When you play someone, you're like, wow, that was great. That was a good connection. GG's, man. And he's like, yeah, I couldn't move. I couldn't do anything. And like, you don't even feel good about playing the match. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, I guess GG's, I'm still better. Like, right? You know, you just feel bad. It's like not a satisfying feeling.
Yeah.
But like whether it works better on PC or PS4, I'm not sure what like the experience has been. But it's clear that there is still issues with the clock syncing in the game because sometimes the syncing works, sometimes it doesn't work. And the rough thing to me in this version is the slowdown, for sure. The slowdown is brutal. Like, losing your inputs is one of the big reasons people dislike delay and like rollback, right? Is like, when you have rollback netcode, you don't worry about that. You just input what you want to input, and it feels like offline. That's like the goal of that implementation. So to have rollback where you have the teleporting that rollback gives you occasionally on bad connections, but also having like the slowdown feels really weird. The good thing is that for some people, it seems like their connection is better. There was a poll that the SF5 server did, and so they asked, like, how do you guys feel about, you know, the connection? And 36% of people, or whatever, 37% said they feel better, right? Which is cool. That is good. But then there was 22% that said it feels worse, and there was 40% that says it seems like it's the same or it didn't change. So overall, it seems like maybe the netcode is... I feel like the best way to think about it now is that it's different. It tries to do things right. It's closer to where the implementation should be, but it still has some issues, you know? So I think it's a good step, but it's not all the way right there, right? Like, some people had great experience in the beginning and then now it's like not so good. Or they had a bad experience to start and it's a little better with some people. And it's like, well, it seems like it's kind of hit or miss.
The worst part about that slowdown is you always get more rollback when people are inputting more buttons. That's been consistent since the game released. So if you're playing a shitty connection where there's a lot of rollback and you get a stun, they start mashing out a stun, you can't do your combo. I've dropped every single combo on a bad connection where I get a stun and I'm doing a jump in. I just do a jump in and then nothing happens. It's happened every single time on PS4. But it's interesting that you mentioned it's just adjusted, because on PS4, I noticed that I could play certain people, but in battle lounges where it was definitely better, but overall on PS4 ranked has been way worse for me. So it's definitely varying from person to person and platform to platform. So I'd be curious for people to pay more attention to what platform they are on, because I've definitely been seeing a lot of people suggesting that their PC experience is better, and I kind of hope that Capcom looks at it that way too, about which platform they're referring to. But the other side of this is that Capcom seems to be listening. They actually mentioned the patch details 2 days too late. Which is the problem. They should have mentioned this before they even put out the netcode update, which would have maybe tempered expectations from the community a lot and braced for the blow of the feedback that everyone provided of nothing's changed, which is what it felt like for a while. But they actually put out patch notes of the actual technical details of what they changed, and are suggesting people to tweet out at Street Fighter V server and submit tickets to submit feedback for them to track it. If they'll actually listen to feedback is yet to be seen. But this is infinitely more than I would have expected from Capcom a month ago.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a lot of the reason the initial negative reaction exists, right? Is like, it's been 4 years and this is finally the first like adjustment that's happened. And there's still like that feeling of like, oh, I don't even know if they're ever going to do anything again, right? Like, they're asking for feedback, and even still we're like, who knows if that'll even get implemented, but it's like cool that they're asking for feedback. And like you, I tested it with a bunch of people that I played on regular, like, you know, the normal Street Fighter rollback before, and then playing it on the Ultimore version and then playing it on the new version. And yeah, my experiences have all been like hit or miss. Like some people who I had great connections with before are, or like, you know, is like better on one or worse on the other and worse on the, you know what I mean? It's like all different. Like I had someone who the regular version I couldn't play. The Ultimate version was great. And then this version is kind of like in the middle. It's not great. It's not, it's, you know, kind of like rough. It's not really very doable. So it just depends on, I think, your opponent and your connection and maybe your machine or whatever. The other thing that was really interesting is they made a statement about it as well, right, that you mentioned. And in the statement, one of the things Capcom said is like, hey, don't play on Wi-Fi. You shouldn't play on Wi-Fi because your Wi-Fi could mess this up, which is good advice, right? Don't play on Wi-Fi. The second thing they said is, you know, don't play online if your PC doesn't run it at 60 FPS. And that started like a narrative in the community that was, ah, it's the PC player's fault. That's why everything's messed up. Your guys' PCs are lagging and not running the game at 60 FPS. It's like, come on, guys. You really think the PS4... is running at 60 FPS all the time. It's downloading Apex Legends and Fortnite in the background. And
don't remind me.
You'd think it never gets hot ever. Like, come on. The PS4 is going to drop frames. And that, it's just something that's going to happen, right? And so having Netcode that can handle when situations like that come up and resync is extremely important, because sometimes you'll need to resync because there's lag, and sometimes it'll happen because the machine, whether it's the PS4 or the PC, will drop frames, right? It's just going to happen. Your PC could just start, like, your antivirus could go off in the background, and all of a sudden, you know, you're go from 60 FPS to 57 to 60, and like it's because they're checking to see if all that, you know, fucking fairy armpit stuff you downloaded last night has anything in it that you shouldn't.
That's gross, man.
Yeah, so it's checking to make sure everything's okay. Well, maybe you downloaded a PDF about the effects of the coronavirus, something educational, all right, and it needs to scan that to make sure it works. You know what I mean? So.
I do think that statement is amazing, though, that they made in there. If you are experiencing these issues during your online matches, it may be due to your or your opponent's network environment setting. In these situations, we recommend you review your network setup. But it's a little dismissive, right? At the end of the entire post where they address what they change, they kind of it's a little bit of a questionable move. They deflect any blame that, hey, maybe our implementation still sucks. It's probably you guys who have a shitty network setup or a shitty computer.
That's pretty funny.
But I misread it the first time. It may be due to your or your opponent's. I only read it may be due to your opponent's network environment setting.
That's way better.
That's godlike. That would have been the number one way to phrase it. Yeah, it's not me. It's that guy's shitty Wi-Fi.
It's good on my end. My opponent's got nasty Wi-Fi, and good he's on my a bitch. Classic. Just like, it's a very fighting game mindset of just like, make it, blame it on your opponent. Just like, dude, I tech that throw. It's your shitty internet that made it so that it didn't happen. It's all your fault.
Exactly. That's, I was like, they knew their audience right there, but then I was like, no.
Yeah.
They said you so or your audience, and fighting game players taking any blame for anything is not going to happen. That's no good.
So they're taking steps little by little to, you know, improve the netcode. All for what's coming up this year, by the way, the 2020 Olympics happening in Tokyo, and Intel World Open being a part of that, with the inclusion of both Rocket League and Street Fighter V. Mm. The official rule set was released this month. 250K on the line. It's going to be 3-on-3 battles, which is why they've been doing the beta tests for the tournaments, both singles as well as the team battle format they've had. I don't know if you guys have seen it between matches, if you guys have played Street Fighter V. But they've been taking these steps little by little to take feedback and fix all of this. I guess one of my questions about it is, if, say Street Fighter V wasn't included in the Olympics, would they have taken these steps to start fixing the netcode?
It's probably a combination of that plus the patch, right? Like, the fan patch is, I think, really the catalyst that started this whole spiral into everybody freaking out, and then Capcom probably feeling forced to do stuff because of the Olympics, which is interesting, but it's like, we'll never know the full truth, right? Like, we'll just only be able to speculate about
I'm
why.
I'm telling you, we need that documentary behind the buttons. We need someone to do an in-depth get investigation Esteban. Of what the hell happened with Capcom during Street Fighter V. What is going on? This has been the story with the most turns and bends I've ever seen with a fighting game. This game has been the worst product ever to be released on the market, and it's actually come so far, but we have to like break their wrist to get them to move forward. It's just insane how much twisting and turning we go through to come to the final end of a functioning working fighting game. Like, why can't the game just work? Why can't it just work? I don't understand. Mm-hmm. So one day we need to have someone who can finally figure out what went wrong. It's just
the tell-all story for sure.
Tell-all story, yeah.
We need it. Behind the button. Someone make it happen, please.
Ono's best friend is like, I'm making a documentary. All right, tell me what happened, you know? Yeah, it's very interesting, right? Like, it is so weird to think about all the things in Street Fighter that have gone wrong for it to end up going right. You know what I mean? It's like every bad thing that could have happened has happened and had to be fixed and adjusted and then changed. And then finally we make it to where we currently are. Where it's like to get something right, something has to break first. And then we make it there, you know, is like right. The way everything's gone. And it's interesting because I think Street Fighter 5 has to be the most resilient game of all time. I feel like nothing else could have survived what it's been through, right? This thing is, if you want to test like a vaccine or you know something like that, you got to try it on Street Fighter V. It's indestructible. Nothing can destroy this game. Indestructible was, who knew that it was a hint of the future, right? Like this game is beefy. It is tough. It can survive anything. Anything. Nothing can beat this game. It's that powerful. It keeps slugging.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, I'm kind of curious to see how it turns out just in time for the Olympics. What was it? They've finally announced the rule set for the qualifiers, and Japan being an auto-qualified team. Did I hear that correct?
Yeah,
they are. Yeah,
they're auto-qualified.
That's normal for like a host country of the Olympics.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's also Japan and Street Fighter.
They were going to do that anyway. Yeah, the Olympics could have been in Norway. They'd be like, well, Japan is, you know, historically, they have good relations with Norway. So it's really the host country. Yeah, that's fine. I also don't think any of us believe that Japan wouldn't have qualified a team, but it's still funny.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
I also heard that they're like the number one seed. If that's true, that's really funny. But yeah, they're like qualified. They posted the rules. There was a bunch of drama about the rules being weird and like, you know, playing the finals online on two different machines locally and like the single limb on like this and that. I don't even know how much of that will stick. I feel like a lot of the rules seem like they were just like copy-pasted the Rocket League stuff, and they just like replaced a few things here and there. I expect some adjustments to the rules.
Even think these are the full rules, because I actually spent time trying to go through this to understand what is the format for the online qualifiers. They don't mention any fighting game specific terms at all. Like,
sure.
What is this, 2 out of 3? Is this going to be 3 out of 5 for winners and grand finals? Well, they do have an extremely in-depth document on what qualifies as doping. What is your allowed controller configuration? What is a macro? Like, if you look at the
rulebook, you have to wear orderly long trousers at the finals. It says in the dress code you must wear orderly long trousers.
Go to the millimeter. They'll tell you. It's insane if you open this rulebook.
Yeah, I've looked through it.
Caffeine is banned. That's a psychoactive drug. You're not allowed to use that before rip Red Bull. So it's just that there's so much information in here, but none of it about the basic fighting game rule sets that we expect. So it just really presents itself as being a governing body that has no knowledge of its audience, which is what this is, right? This is like a corporate buyout of another community, someone else running it who doesn't know anything about the game they're running. It's really giving that impression, which is what I think we expected from the get-go, but they're really selling that now, especially with the key rule, which is what set everyone off. All LAN events will be played exclusively on PC and use dedicated Battle Lounge online lobbies as opposed to versus mode. See the FAQ below for more details. And there's no details.
Yeah. I think everybody expects that to change, right? Like, there's no way they're going to do the finals online, in person, with two different PCs or machines. You can just play on one PC. You don't need multiple PCs. You just do versus mode, right? I think all of us expect that to change. If it doesn't, it'll be funny. But I think a lot of us expect a lot of these rules to get ironed out. It seems like they had like a deadline to get these rules out or something, and they were like, all right, we got to get them out. And then whoever from Street Fighter, like from Capcom, I guess, who is like knows the rules, will get in there and be like, hey, this is what needs to happen. And they'll argue and fight about it until they come to a compromise, and then we'll get the amended rules eventually.
I would hope
that makes sense. I was pretty worried about all of this until you mentioned that it's kind of copy and pasted from Rocket League. So since that's the case, I do expect a lot of things to change.
Yeah, it seems like it's just like this is their generic rule set, and they were just like, all right, this will just apply. And they just threw it at the wall, and they're like, it'll stick. And now everybody's like, whoa. So
Sure. But some of this is also not copy and pasted, like the format. So if you check the full rulebook format, all open qualifiers will have a single elimination bracket. Online qualifiers, single elim. The closed qualifiers will be double elimination. So there's open and closed. Close is like the second round once you get past the first one. There's a lot of details about how many teams get through or how many people get through the first and the second.
Yeah.
And I'm getting kind of lost. There's a lot of detail here. But yeah, they mentioned that it'll be single elimination. So there's my FGC brain, FGC lingo right there. But what is the single elimination? Is there going to be 2 out of 3 games? Is it one round?
Yeah.
Is it 30 seconds? Like, they don't mention any of the standard format. Ones, yeah. And I don't trust them to know what the standard format is or what they're going to enforce or not. And the fact that they're saying single elimination is already insane, especially in an online environment where is this single elimination first to one online? I mean,
that'd be tight.
Is that where we're going?
SBO, baby. It's all.
I don't know. I don't know why they didn't decide to, one, do their research, and two, just hire somebody who's been in the community to just have them on board, like as an independent contractor, and just be like, you know what? We need your expertise here to just make these rules up. And it's not even that difficult of a rule set. There's been so many instances, so many like fighting game tournaments out there that you could just literally Google and figure out the format.
It seems like they did the hard part, right? Which is like they cut up all the countries, they like figured out when and where everything's gonna happen. Like, it seems like the part that's left is like the easy part. Okay, the finals are played locally on one machine in versus mode, and it's, you know, the online portion, it's single limb, but it's 2 out of 3, or it's double limb and it's 2 out of 3 and grand finals, winner finals, loser finals, threat. You know what I mean? Like, I feels like the stuff that's left is like, it should be the simple part. Right. And not this part, but it's very weird how this happened. That's the thing, is we just don't know. Like, there's nobody that's like, hey guys, you know what? This is just a misunderstanding, because we don't have anybody that's like, hey guys, here's what happened. You know, we're going to get that fixed. Don't worry. Like, there's nobody here to say that. And so like, it's funny because lately I've seen a lot of discourse that's like, hey, don't be mean to this person or that person or this person and that person. They're not involved with this. Like, don't be mean to whoever it is on whatever.
Who was involved?
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like, who's involved? Who do we like go like, hey, are you going to get this fixed to you, right? Who do we ask about that or talk to about that, right?
Like, for Street Fighter, I feel like there's the most happening ever in the world of esports for Street Fighter right now, but I also know the least about it and feel the least excited about it.
Yeah.
At the same time.
It's there's like so they much have
happening
this
in CPT.
Dude, so yeah, the CPT format. Intel,
Street Fighter League.
Yes.
None of it I know any about. I'm so confused. I'm trying to even compete. I can't figure out what the hell is the plan. What is the World Warriors Challenge in CPT?
Yeah.
How do I plan what I'm going to be doing for competing? What is Street Fighter League anymore? What is this? And what is the Intel Online? I've read the rules like 3 times. I still don't know what I have to do to enter this.
Yeah.
There's not a Smash GG page for me to go to and register. Like, I just don't understand what's happening.
It's so bizarre, right? Because, yeah, there's so much that Capcom is doing. And it's, like, all, like, so fast. It's like, wow, look at all this stuff that's going on. And it's just, like, there's just no... Who knows what's happening, right? There's, like, so little documentation or explanation. Or even, like, you know, Tekken just announced their tour, right? And they had, like, Rip and Mark over there, like, discussing, hey, here's what's going on with the tour. Here's all the locations and stuff. Like... Where is like a video with, I guess all of Capcom's champions are gone, but like somebody just on camera being like, hey everybody, the tour is coming up, this is how the split tour works, cool, hey, this is how, you know, SFL is gonna work, hey, this is how this is gonna work, right? Like, there's no, that there's would no be great. Yeah, like it would be super great to have that kind of thing, right? Especially when, like, for us, like I'm not, like, SFL, to me, I was not interested in it before. This version looks like it could be more interesting, but I, you know, I'm focused on CPT, so I want details about that. So, like, you know, having no details about it is really, like, it's a weird feeling to just be like, what's going to even happen with this, right?
Right. But,
It's so strange.
I don't know. I'm kind of curious myself. I think Anton posted his gripes about it. Not having any of the details about the actual CPT itself in this part of the game or this part of the year has been pretty wild to see, honestly, because a lot of these guys depend on, you know, I don't know what to
hide. You got to book travel and stuff too, right? It's coming up.
Yeah, their livelihood as a professional gamer, I guess.
For sponsorships, they often resolve around this, right? So understanding the strategy you want to take, I mean, you might just not go to every single event, right? So 22 out of the 40 spots for the CPT come from this World Warriors Challenge, which is a complete mystery, which we know nothing about. Apparently, it starts in August, is what I heard. But what does it mean? Should I even bother traveling for this first half of the year? Should I wait for the second half of the year? Should I focus entirely on this other mini game within the CPT? There's just no details, which should be set at the beginning of the year, because that's what drives for many players how they negotiate contracts, how they plan with their sponsor, what they're going to be doing. There is a kind of a financial take to this for people who this is their career. So it just leaves everybody in a very insecure position. Like, that's just how I feel about it. I feel insecure about everything that's going on with Street Fighter right now and the competitive scene.
Sure.
I just don't really know what to expect for any of it.
Yeah. And then there's that underlying issue of whether or not some of these events are going to be happening, depending on the current state of affairs in the world with the coronavirus, right? One of the biggest things is that our first event, our first major event for the Capcom Pro Tour, Brussels Challenge, has actually been canceled.
Brussels, not even just April CPT, Annihilation, just and NCR, all three events are pulled from the CPT, which, like, you know, I think we kind of expect this to happen, right? Like, I think Tekken's first event will probably also get pushed back. I think lots of events will get pushed back till at least past April, maybe, or at least
Arxis as well.
Yeah, yeah, like everything through March will probably get pushed away, and I think maybe into April as well, because that's usually when flu season starts to taper off. A lot of people are very worried about this. And I think a lot of people will expect more cancellations coming up soon, right? It makes sense because, like, if you think about it, it's like, all right, Capcom pulls out of these three events, right? I think that's probably the right decision because there's two things that happen. Either one is these events, like, happen. They're CPT events. Something bad happens, and maybe there's a case of coronavirus there or something. And now suddenly everybody at that tournament is at risk of having coronavirus. Right. Or CPT pulls out of it and says, hey, guys, you have to be careful and safe, you know? This is like a worldwide thing, and they're being preempted to try to stop people from getting sick and stuff. So I think you have to be a little careful about travel and, like, going to crowded events or anything like that. I mean, even there's talk about, like, I know IEM Katowice didn't have any, like, spectators and stuff, but there's talks about the Olympics being canceled this year, actually, just overall. Dick Pound from the Olympic community or committee or whatever it is was like, we're going to keep monitoring it, but if it's not looking good by May, we're axing the Olympics. Like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah,
Richard they decided Pound, to move
it.
Yes.
I think the plan is, like, yeah, considering how bad it gets, they're probably going to postpone it to maybe August or, like, just obviously towards the later end of the year because it's been too wild. They're saying that, like, you have to keep people quarantined for about, like, maybe a month or something, or no less than that. But
yeah, I thought it was, like, if you get sick with it too, it's like 2 to 6 weeks is, like, the time that you could be sick with it or something. It's a long time. Mm-hmm. So, and there's, like, a 2-week incubation period as well. It's, like, brutal.
Yeah, so I mean, with that in mind, there's a lot of concern to whether or not you should be traveling to these events. Obviously, if I were you guys, just stay safe, keep yourself quarantined, stay home. Really, it's not worth it, obviously.
Yeah, and I expect more cancellations coming because what they did for CPT is they're going in chronological order. So it's Brussels Challenge.
Son.
And, sorry, that's what
I'm covering. The former vegan in you.
On my stream, and then what was the other one? The two USA events. It was NCR and April Annihilation, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of expect them just to be monitoring the situation and just going down the list, right? If the situation doesn't improve, there might not be a first half of the tour, right? So lots of things shaking up how this is all working out, but it's definitely the right move. I mean, this is nothing to play with. So removing some of these events are probably going to still go on, especially like the local USA ones, because there hasn't been like a major outbreak in the US yet, but removing the incentive for people to travel internationally from all over, I think is a smart play from Capcom and tour organizers, because one thing is, you know, you get a headline for on event hubs for your event canceled. The other one is being on CNN for being the epicenter for a new outbreak, right? So it's kind of just sad reality of what's going on right now.
Yeah, definitely. You have to be careful. And I mean, yeah, you've seen cancellations in everything, right? Like it's been in every aspect of events or organizations and stuff like that. I mean, even in Japan, they're like, hey, kids can't go to school. It's like 2 days. We don't want anybody going to public school for like X amount of time. And like all the gatherings over there have been canceled, or at least a lot of them and stuff. So like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? It just makes sense. I think around the world, you'll see lots of stuff, especially in the first half of this year, being canceled because of it until we get kind of the scope of where we're at. And, you know, it affects our community a lot, too. I feel especially bad. I mean, for everybody, right? It's like such a rough time. But like if your job relies on you to travel and like attend events and stuff and you're all getting canceled and stuff, like, you know, it's brutal. Not even just in like our scene, but, you know, internationally, if your job is to travel to places and you can't, right, because of this, it's pretty rough. It's probably rough for a lot of people. So, yeah, it's pretty brutal. And I hope that it's not something that like spreads out throughout the year. Normal flu season usually ends around April. I don't know that this will or not. Like, who knows in the meantime? But I hope that it means by the second half of the year, it's not quite as rough as it is now.
I mean, we'll see. I'm pretty sure, like, month after month, as we continue to do these shows, we'll have some sort of update. And yeah. I guess hopefully it gets contained this year, at least, minimum.
So, yeah, we'll see. Yeah, definitely, hopefully.
It seems like a pretty scary thing, man.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, Red Bull Gaming Sphere is getting shut down, or has been shut down. We saw GDC was canceled. Yeah. Like, it's affecting so many things for sure.
Yeah, it's dangerous, man. I'm definitely concerned as someone who has two trips in the next month and a half or something already. I'm like, well, here we go. It's all domestic, but like, you never know what's gonna happen, you know?
Sure. So.
Yeah, especially in the U.S., if you're in the hospital for 3 or 4 or 5 weeks or whatever, that's going to cost a couple of dollars. That's for sure. I'm gonna come back to the stream straight. Hell, this is going to be rough.
Stream from the hospital.
Yeah, I guess I'm going to have to. I'm going to be in bed, like, my computer wrapped in a plastic bag. Like, hey, what's up, guys? Stream today is going to be a little short. You know, we need to raise $20 million so I can afford to stay in the hospital for 2 weeks. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to do it. It's going to be brutal.
It's pretty awful. But yeah. That pretty much rounds out the entirety of what we wanted to talk about this month. So many things have happened, and there's so much more to look forward to. Again, we mentioned it slightly. One of them being Final Combat, the big event for Mortal Kombat 11 happening next weekend, March 7th. Granblue officially releasing for North America, happening on the 3rd, and their official launch party, if you are in Southern California, it is happening in Hollywood on March 7th as well. Any other events that you guys wanted to throw down or throw info for?
What's coming up soon? I'm trying to think.
Do we know who won the LCQ for Final Combat?
Has that happened already?
I thought that happened.
I thought that they had just posted the brackets and stuff for it. I think it's on site, right?
It was probably just that.
Yeah, I know people are saying the brackets are pretty stacked. They had an issue where, like, originally it was capped or something, and then, a lot of people couldn't get into it, so they had to, like, figure out a way to deal with it. Like, there's a lot of really good players, like Kevo, and I saw a bunch of stuff. Oh, yeah, Kimono Michi is in a few hours. That reminds me. Punk versus Infectious is in 2.5 hours from now.
Nice.
So it's 2.5 hours from now, that'll be the Kimono Michi. There's an ST match where one of the guys has been on there every time, and then the other guy was like, yeah, I can't defeat him. He's impossible. I've never beaten him a game in my life. And then there's the Street Fighter V match, and then there's a single player, like, time trial. It's like a bullet hell game where, like, she holds, like, the world record, and she just beat her own record after, like, 3 or 4 years of trying to beat her own record. She finally beat it recently. So she's going to do, like, her, like, you know, try to beat this bullet hell game. I know nothing about that game, but I love bullet hell games, so I'm gonna watch because I'm really interested in seeing it. That sounds fun. So Kimono Michi starts at 6 p.m Pacific, 9 p.m Eastern for those of you in the U.S. 2.5 hours from now.
And Perfect. Also notable fighting game community member and Street Fighter Chad Kenny Omega is defending his tag team titles tonight at AEW Revolution.
Dang. I see.
So
yeah,
I'll be tuned into that.
Yeah.
That guy got taken out by Ono with the chair. I saw that. That was pretty
That's true. That's true.
He asked about the LCQ, and Ono brought the chair out. He's like, not on my watch. Bam! Just laid into him. Yeah, it was tight.
That was great. It brought some pretty fun memes afterwards, too.
Yeah. That was tough. Yeah, AEW is tonight too. I think what's interesting though is, like, yeah, I was thinking about upcoming events. There is some stuff coming up, but a lot of stuff will probably be canceled, particularly international events, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty rough. I'm happy that Kimono Michi is at least still happening tonight. Fudo had his wedding last night, and Daigo was really drunk, so I can't wait to see him on camera today.
Was that video from this wedding of Daigo just yelling belligerently out of his mind?
Dude, there was, like, so they were doing, like, the big group picture of, like, the bride and groom, and they had everybody together, right? And, like, Daigo wasn't in the picture, so then they're, like, getting ready to take it. They're like, wait, Daigo, come over here. So Daigo comes into the side, and, like, everybody else is wearing a suit and tie, and he's wearing, like, his HyperX, Beast TV, Gillette bomber jacket.
What a beast.
And he's standing there, and he's, like, looking around and stuff, and they're like, no, wait, you got to go towards the middle. So he moves into the middle, and he's completely covering Choco Blanco. Like, she's, like, trying to, like, look over his shoulder, and she can't because he's, like, taking up so much space. And then Mago's like, come to the middle. So he gets it right in the middle of the shot, literally between the bride and the groom, with his bomber jacket with all his sponsors and everything, and everybody else is wearing a suit. And he's like,
secure the bag.
Mago throws up the peace sign, and Daigo's like,
"Yeah."
And he takes the pic, dude. It was a classic Daigo moment. I was like, "This guy, man."
As far as I'm concerned, he's asleep at Kimono Michi, and they're going to shake him and wake him up 5 minutes before the broadcast.
I hope he's wearing shades. Like, I really hope that he's got, like, the shades on, and he's just leaning against the table like this. Like, it's, yeah, it's great. It's going to be, and Audu was there too. Audu has done all the commentary on Street Fighter and, like, the announcing for Kimono Michi. He emceed Fudo's wedding last night. So he was, like, there doing, like, all the emceeing and stuff. And then, like, so today he's got to be at Kimono Michi too. So I'm sure he's in a state. I don't know what state it'll be, but yeah, it's pretty great.
There's also a lot of dope clips coming out from the wedding tournament, right? Where everybody was married. And of course, the most notable being Dogura's wife just staring daggers at him as he lost to Haitani. And Haitani just like bouncing his child, being that happy. It's just so good.
It was great. Best is like the round one match, Bonchan beat like Sako, and Sako's head goes down, and Bonchan looks at his wife and he's like, like he's like celebrating and stuff, and Sako's just miserable. He's like, damn
immediately
it.
Immediately went to the twins, started shaking their hands. Like,
it's too dangerous. That tournament adorable. Is like too high stakes, man. Like, you can't have the wife and family watching you in person as you just get
letting
crushed.
Them down.
It's like, right, you've spent so much time away from this marriage for fighting games. You're going to let me down here when I'm watching you? You son of a.
It's horrible.
As High Fight said, more pressure than CPT.
Dogra's face after two, he was like melting. Like his face, they're doing like an interview and his wife is just staring daggers. And like Dogra's just melting into, like he can't even like answer the question. And then she broke. Like she couldn't keep staring daggers. She just started laughing. Cause like,
I gotta see that interview.
Yeah, it's too funny. Like Dogra's face, he's just literally, he's got like a quadruple chin cause his face is like melting into like his neck. And she's just staring at him, and she can't help herself. She just starts dying laughing. Like she
was hounding him as soon as he got off the station. So that was the deepest bow.
Yeah,
like, get out of here. You don't deserve to be at the station anymore. And as soon as he started walking off, she was hounding him.
Yeah,
it was such a great clip.
With how big of a troll he is, it makes sense that she is a massive troll too. It makes perfect sense.
That is a match made in heaven. I want my wife. Just stare daggers at me.
The tournament that we're talking about was Fudo's wedding, had an 8-man tournament, which was all married Street Fighter players playing against each other in like a single elim bracket. It's a lot like the Olympics. And they played against each other, and I think Fudo actually won in the end. He beat Kazunoko, and I was like, damn it, I really wanted Kazunoko to beat him at his own wedding. So he got second, but he got him. So I was like, all right, fair enough. So that's what they played it last night on Fudo's stream. You can go check it out. He had like 7,000 or 8,000 viewers for his wedding when I tuned in. I was like, all right, sick.
That's so cool. That's really, really cool.
Yeah,
I'm sure we'll see more clips to put up on our social medias. Speaking of which, hey. Now that we've kind of rounded up all the topics, where can we find everybody on their social medias? Starting with you, Brian F. I feel like yours is the hardest. So get that.
Let me see if I can get it right this time. I beefed it every other time. It's Brian_F, BRIAN_F on Twitch and YouTube. On Twitter, I still have my Xbox Live gamer tag, BRI4NF. If anyone out there can help me secure the Brian_F, from Mr. Ferguson, who I'm pretty sure passed away several years ago, I will gladly take putting that out there.
Okay. Ringe, how about you, bud?
You can find me on Twitter at twitter.com/Ringe with an underscore at the end, because much like Brian, I was not able to secure Ringe proper in time, and some Swedish business group has it, and that person's like last name is Ringe, so like I can't even like, and they're still alive, so I don't have much of a chance at getting that name.
That's a step up for my guy.
Yeah, and you can find me on Twitch. Actually, I've been streaming consistently these past 2 weeks, gonna continue in next week on Ringe. I actually have the proper name on Twitch at the very least, so yeah, that's where you can find me.
Hell yeah. Twitter, Twitch, and now on YouTube, Vicious FGC is where you can find me. I just started doing the YouTube thing, uploading matches little by little for Grand Blue Fantasy Versus for WNF. I will be doing it more frequently, so if you guys want to check it out, it's always highly appreciated. And of course, I'll be streaming Grand Blue a good amount this month, as well as some Street Fighter V. And of course, you guys have been tuning into Sejam. Sejam, where can they find you on all your social media?
Yeah, Sejam on Twitch and Twitter. And then if you type in Sejam, it'll show up on YouTube. But my YouTube, I think, is Superman Sejam, because when I made it, you couldn't put Sejam. 5 letters was not enough. You had to have 6. So I was like, that's fucked. Who does that? So yeah, that's where you can find everything. This will get uploaded later on Spotify and iTunes and I don't know, whatever. It's in a lot of places. Stitcher or something, wherever the kids use these days. Yeah. Spotify and iTunes is what you should use, probably. Whatever you listen to stuff on, whatever feeds they have for this. You can find it there. And it always goes up on YouTube also, and the YouTube has the timestamps. So you can find it on there as well. If you missed part of this or you want to check out some stuff that you missed, I stream Monday through Friday, as if you, you know, tune into this channel, you know, and sometimes Saturday when we do this podcast. We're also starting our D&D show pretty soon on Tuesdays. And Ringe has been teasing a bunch of the art. So if you hit exclamation point cast, you can find his Twitter and then go check out some of the art that he's been teasing on there. And then I also have a podcast that I've been meaning to start, and Steve's been too busy. So I might just have someone else as the first guest, because Steve is, you know how Steve is. He's always flying around the world in his private jet and his off-white hoodie, and like he's always busy. Mm-hmm. So I might have to do something else. So that's the plan. Is that everybody?
It sure is.
All right, cool. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. I appreciate y'all. I'll catch you guys around. Thanks, everybody, who dropped subs and stuff. And I'll run a quick ad and then send you guys on your way somewhere. I don't know where. I don't know what's live today, but I'll send you guys out of here. Have a good one, everybody, and I'll catch you guys around. Peace out.
Peace.